Next Chapter Podcasts.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Bowie, Dylan, Marley. You've heard the names and maybe you've heard their songs, but what about the stories behind the records that made titans of music like these so universally loved and important? Join me, Josh Adam Myers, host of The 500, as each week I go through a different album from Rolling Stone Magazine's 500 Greatest Albums list from 2012 with an incredible lineup of comedians, actors, and musicians talking about how the music has impacted their lives. New episodes of The 500 come out every Wednesday. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Goodfriend, executive producer of the Play On podcast series at Next Chapter Podcasts. These productions begin with the translation of the text into modern English verse by the playwright who has been commissioned through Play On Shakespeare. Often, that playwright works closely with a dramaturg, and it's my pleasure today to have both of those people with me to talk about the Play On podcast series, Twelfth Night. This is part two of my interview with Allison Carey and Leslie Cross. It's amazing to me, Allison, while we were working on this production, that the Supreme Court, we got the word, the sort of the leaked ruling that Roe versus Wade was going to be overturned. Allison, what was that like for you? Did you make that sort of connection when you got word of this ruling that it correlates to this play? Did it affect you in that way?
I think the religious the power of Christian fundamentalists in our country is so profound a threat to our ability to function as a democracy. I did not connect it to this play so much in that moment that, you know, where we were all got on the Zoom and were like, oh, I think it is below everything that we do in this country, this constant tension and the ease with which Malvolio is sort of dealt with by the other characters. The play ends with Malvolio saying, "I will be revenged on the whole pack of you." And are we seeing Malvolio get his way in the United States of America in 2022? We certainly are. I think that's a very apt observation. And I think it's, in some ways, it's the way, if you focus on that part of the play misses its mark, except insofar as Shakespeare is warning us all when Malvolio makes that threat that we have to be on our guard, which of course we are insufficiently on our guard. And we have a system of government which is now being corrupted by Christian fundamentalists.
Allison, you say if you focus on that part of the play misses its mark. Why?
Because the Malvolios of this world are more powerful than we'd like to imagine them to be.
So if you're saying that the making light of Malvolio, the comedy of Malvolio, if you focus on the comedy of it, it doesn't.
Really... Yeah, because he's fairly easily dealt with. And so, again, I have to correct myself and say that Shakespeare, in this warning of Malvolio saying, "I'll be back," Malvolios keep returning. And certainly the character of Malvolio and the class system and how people are treated differently and who he's allowed to dream of marrying and who he's not allowed to dream of marrying. You know, it's not a simple narrative, but to connect it to the political and the way, I mean, there's so many connections between the characters of any great play and the moments, the common moments and the common shortcomings that human beings share across centuries is all there. But I do think it's a warning piece. And I think just talking about the play, one of the things I think, especially that Christopher Lee Moore finds in this play is the sort of deep grief that is everything in it. Everybody is suffering so profoundly. And the idea, right, that from this, you know, time when it's cold and gray, this reminder that through the grief of whatever loss and pain you are experiencing in your life, you can renew yourself and you can find love and you can learn new things that you didn't know about yourself. That is the engine of this play, right? So insofar as Malvolios are powerful, that's a terrible thing. It's also a reminder that to overcome the Malvolios is possible because you can continue, at the worst of times, find renewal in the company of fellow human beings. I'll say one more thing because this is something I feel so passionately about. You know, I think you learn from the text, you can learn and learn and learn. And I would say when we were recording, Michael, you know, you were there would, an actor would say a line and I'd be like, oh, I just kind of understood that line for the first time. Like, and this is, I've been working on this play for a long time. So, you know, there is always that constant learning, but I think there's so much in the text. There's so much in the way that the actors' voices illuminate the text. But one of the great things about theater is that it's an example of how human beings can function together, right? It's the most collaborative, most human of art forms. And the miracle that a whole bunch of sort of chaos agents, all human beings are chaos agents, managed to like put on a play, everybody work together, like get it done. And by opening night, when you're never really ready, but here you are and you're like all together, and then you connect with the audience and everybody's in it all together. And that power of connection, it is so profound in the moment of creating theater and of experiencing theater. If we could carry that sort of collaborative enthusiasm and possibility of world creating outside of our rehearsal rooms and into our lives and into our legislative halls and into our courtrooms, the belief that it is this collaboration and connection that makes us humans at their best, that is why I keep returning to theater, because this it gives me strength. And it shows me every day the possibilities of human collaboration and imagination.
This is Michael Goodfriend, executive producer of the Play On podcast series. I hope you're enjoying this conversation with the creatives behind the scenes. To listen to the full interview, join the Play On supporting cast for just $5 a month, which by the time you hear this might be less than you'll pay for a gallon of gas. You'll get in-depth interviews featuring some of the most brilliant artists working today. You'll also enjoy ad-free episodes of the Play On podcast series. Subscribe today for $5 a month. Join the cast. Go to ncpodcast.com and sign up today. Thanks for listening.
Next Chapter Podcast presents In the Cards, starring Connor Ratliff as Gil.
I'm not a loser, I'm just unlucky.
Stephen Boyer as his pal Lex.
Face it, Gil, we're failures.
The Walking Dead's Lila Robbins.
This man is a train wreck.
Chukwudi Awuji.
Look at your own lives. What is your destiny?
Jamie Ann Romero.
When the moment is right, stop shuffling.
Written and directed by Kevin Henderson. Subscribe today. Go to ncpodcast.com to learn more.
Next Chapter Podcasts.